This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
To all the people who were killed yesterday in Pittsburgh.
Yes, yes.
And they're
you have their names?
Yes, I have their names. And Bezrat Hashem, Hashem should obviously help us get through this and protect Klal Yisrael wherever we are in the world. Because there's a lot of people who hate us. And it's interesting because we are learning Pirkei Avot. We're learning the ethics, but they're the ones who need to learn ethics. And our job is to try and teach the world. Our job is to try and teach the world and spread the light of God's law into the world. Because if we don't teach them, they'll kill us, basically. If we don't teach them ethics, they'll kill us. But you see over here that wherever Jews are, they're always a target. Wherever we are in the world, we're targets. Whatever we do, whether you're nice, you're not nice, you're going to be a target. Anyway, so Jews everywhere are targets. And what can we do? So we can do, even if we have guards, you look at Israel, they have guards, and on Friday night there were 30 rockets into Israel. People don't realize. 30 rockets.
Really?
Yeah, you don't hear it. Oh, you don't hear about it. 30 rockets into Israel. And the reason why no one talks about it is because no one was killed. You have Iron Dome, Baruch Hashem, but no one was killed, thank God. A lot of people were scared. A lot of people went to hospital for fear. But so it was a very violent Shabbat. We were here enjoying, but it's a violent Shabbat around the world, in Israel, outside Israel.
We didn't know about it.
And what's interesting is that there seems to be no escape. Wherever you are as Jews, wherever you are as a Jew, Jews are targets. Might as well have a target around you. I'm a Jew. You say you're a Jew, you wear a yarmulke, that's it, you're a target. You have a synagogue, Jewish synagogue, you're a target. Everyone's a target. We're all targets. And even here in this lovely country, we seem like we're also targets. So we are crazy lunatics all over the world. They're crazy people all over the world. And these people that we're here are loaded with weapons.
And we're so nice.
And we're so nice, and it's so easy. So it's a soft target. It's called a soft target. Anyway, but the whole thing is to learn ethics. And the merit of the ethics should help us. And Hashem, we should get Hashem's protection.
Amen.
We should have Hashem's protection. And we are moving on to Mishnah 8. And we are talking about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We talked about him many times. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was Hillel, the famous Hillel, which we just discussed, all his sayings. Hillel had 80 students. And the biggest of his students was Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel, who was buried in Amukah, which is a real big valley, which is called Amuka, which is, means deep, Amok.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing valley between Sfat and Tver, and Sfat and Meron. For those who have been, I was there this summer. Actually drove down. First time I've actually driven myself down into that valley. And then coming up out of the valley, the road is very, very narrow. So I said, I'm going to follow the bus out. So I'm following this big bus. I said, listen, behind the bus, you're fine. No one can bang into you when you're right behind this big bus. Unfortunately for me, this big bus took the wrong turn. They went to some restaurant at the bottom of the mountain. Oh boy, had to make a U-turn and go up back up over there. Oh, yeah. So I was following the bus. I thought, you know, the bus will go the shortcut. It turned out to be a very long way around. Anyway, that's Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel. He's buried right down in the bottom of the valley, Amuka. He was the greatest of the 80 students of Hillel, and the smallest of the 80 students was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And they said about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he knew the whole Torah by heart, Tanakh. He knew the whole Mishnah by heart. He knew the whole Gemara by heart. He knew all the halachot. He knew all the stories. He knew the dikduk. He knew the dikduk of all the whole Talmud. He knew all the light laws. He knew the heavy laws. He knew the big gezerot, all the rabbinical laws. He knew all the how to figure out the astronomical calculations of the new moon. He knew all the gematriot. He knew how to speak, the speech of the angels, whatever that means. He knew the speech of the demons. He knew the speech of the trees.
Yes.
He was the smallest of the students of Hillel. And he
smallest
was...
in size?
No, in knowledge. In knowledge. In knowledge.
Oh my gosh.
He was the smallest in knowledge. So you can imagine the greatest in knowledge. Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel, the greatest. So he was also the chief rabbi in the worst time of Jewish history. One of the worst times of Jewish history was the destruction of the Second Temple. He was the chief rabbi. And he saved three things. Number one is he saved He asked Vespasian. He had a meeting with Vespasian. And he says, Vespasian, hail Caesar. And Vespasian says, you are liable death penalty twice. Number one is, I'm not the Caesar. So you are a traitor to the Caesar. Number two is, if I am the Caesar, why didn't you come before? You are making a siege around Jerusalem. You should have come before. He says, number one is, I know you're going to be Caesar, because Jerusalem can only fall into the hands of a king. And number two is, I couldn't come before because the zealots of your Jerusalem wouldn't let me out. I wanted to come, but they wouldn't let me out. So straight away it says, a horseman came riding up from Rome and said, hail Caesar, hail Caesar. Imagine they tell Vespasian, you are the new king. The king passed away, Caesar passed away, and you are the new Caesar. Wow, it's amazing. He says, the rabbi just called me Caesar. And here I get a message from Rome. He says, Rabbi, I'm going to give you three wishes. Three wishes. Because you gave me good news, I'm going to give you three wishes. What do you want now? So he says, preserve for me the generations of King David, the seed of Mashiach. I want, please don't kill the family of Rabban Gamliel, we talked about, and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, don't kill that family. Please save them, because they're the progenitors of Mashiach. Number two, he said, give me a doctor to heal Rabbi Tzadok. He says, Rabbi Tzadok was fasting for 40 years, so Jerusalem should not fall. He was just a bundle of bones. Give me a doctor to heal him. And number three is, give me the city of Yavne. Let me move the Sanhedrin to Yavne. All the wise men should move to Yavne. And Vespasian gave him three wishes, those three wishes. So Rabbi Akiva says, hey, what about, why didn't he ask him to save Jerusalem? He has three wishes. Why do you use up his three wishes? Why are you asking for such small things? Ask for big things. So Gemara says, he thought, tafasta meruba lo tafasta. If you ask for too much, you get nothing. So he asked for reasonable things that Vespasian will give him. He didn't ask for unreasonable things. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, he was the student of Hillel and also of Shammai. He studied with Hillel, he studied with Shammai. He says he accepted both. Who are Yomer? He used to say.
But weren't they opposites?
Well, Hillel and Shammai, in the end, what happened was, Hillel built a school called Beit Hillel. Mm-hmm. And Shammai built a school called Beit Shammai. So Hillel and Shammai only actually had seven disagreements in their life. Only seven disagreements. But their schools developed, had many disagreements. So at that time, they are both similarly very similar. Hillel and Shammai are very, very similar. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says a very interesting thought. Hu ayomer, im lamata Torah arbe, if you studied a lot of Torah, don't think you're a big shot. A person should not think, I studied so much Torah. I am a great person. Al takzik tova latzmecha. Don't think a person did more than they were required. Ki lekach notzarta. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is telling us how to remain humble. Person learned how. So person says, you know what? I learned a lot of Torah. This guy didn't learn so much Torah. I'm much greater than that person. Don't get big-headed. Why? He says, Hashem created you for this purpose. Hashem created you for that purpose. You're just doing your purpose in the world. So don't get big-headed. You're doing a purpose. What are you getting big-headed about? That's your purpose in the world. Okay. So that's the reason why we're created. We're created to learn Torah. A person shouldn't get big-headed. We find yesterday we talked about Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu prays for the people of Sodom. You know, there's a great story I saw yesterday. I can't remember which rabbi it was. It was one of the rabbis. And one of the Hasidim, one of his right-hand men, came to the rabbi. He says, Rabbi, he says, it's time to get rid of the thorns in the vineyard. You know what that means? The Jews, our people are called Hashem's vineyard. We are called Hashem's vineyard. And sometimes you have one or two people who don't get along with anyone. So he tells the rabbi, it's time to get rid of the thorns in the vineyard. Trying to throw out some of these Hasidim who are not behaving. So the Rebbe says, I think you're right. I'll be the first to leave. Because I'm the worst of them all. That's the greatness of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is praying for Saddam. Why is he praying for Saddam? They're all evil people. Because Avraham Avinu says, Anochi afar ba'efer, I'm dust and ashes. I'm lower than them. Imagine. What a thought. So that's the humility. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying. There's many great rabbis who learned a lot of Torah, and each one thinks, I'm the greatest. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, slow down. You're not bigger than anyone else. You're just doing your job, that's all. You're just doing your job. So don't think greatness about yourself. So I'm sure this is something which he said because it was needed in his generation. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is, we said, the smallest of the students of Hillel. So can you imagine, he has 79 people in his time who are greater than him in knowledge. So each one is saying, what do you know, Yochanan ben Zakkai? I know more than you, Yochanan ben Zakkai. He says, don't get big-headed. If you're learning Torah, that's why you're created. Don't get too big-headed. So a person shouldn't get carried away and say, I know more than this one, I know more than that one. It's okay. You know more, you also have more responsibilities. The guy who knows less has less responsibility. The guy who knows more has more responsibilities. So he had 5 students. So imagine, Hillel had 80 students. Imagine, look at the big crash. This is a big crash because of the time, because of the persecution of the time. This is probably the worst time in Jewish history apart from the Holocaust. There was another Holocaust, the Roman Holocaust. People don't talk about the Roman Holocaust. The Roman Holocaust was worse than the Nazis, in terms of percentages. They killed at least half the Jews in the world. The Romans killed at least half the Jews in the world. And they sold a lot of Jews as slaves. In fact, they got to the point where people wouldn't buy them. There were just so many slaves in the market. People stopped buying slaves. There was a glut of Jewish slaves in the market. Terrible, terrible. Hard to think about. Jews being slow, sold as slaves. Very. So that was the Roman persecution. So you see how before there were 80 students of Hillel, now there's only 5. Only 5 students of Yochanan ben Zakkai. So the Mishnah lists these 5 students. Why does it list these 5 students? Because these 5 students, all the Torah we have today came through these 5 students. All the Torah we have today is basically through Rabbi Akiva. And these were the rabbis of Rabbi Akiva. The 5 students, Rabbi. So you have Hillel, you have Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you have Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's students, and then you have Rabbi Akiva. And then you have Rabbi Akiva has 5 students, which is interesting. This number 5, which is like Chumash. In other words, why 5 students? Because the 5 students are like the Chumash. Each one has a book. It's a book in itself. So who are these 5 students? Number 1, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus. Now what's interesting, there's a beautiful book called Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer has a book called The Chapters of Rabbi Eliezer, which I have hopefully I have it somewhere over there, if I can find it. He was a Baal Teshuvah. Rabbi Eliezer was a Baal Teshuvah. It says he was a kid and he was grown up, and his father, Hyrcanus, you can see by the name, he was already an assimilated Jew, Hyrcanus. He took a Greek name, and he was very wealthy. Hyrcanus, his father, is very, very wealthy. And Eliezer, his son, wants to go and learn Torah. And Hyrcanus says, on no account are you going to go learn Torah. I need you to manage my estate. Who's going to manage all this when I pass away? You're going to be the one. So therefore, you're going to stay here, learn how it happens, and you're going to take over. And Eliezer says, it's crying and crying. I want to learn Torah. I want to learn Torah. He's 27 years old until he says, that's it. I quit. I'm running away. I'm going to go to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and study Torah. So he runs away. His father says, okay, you leave me, I cut you off. No money. No funding for me. So he goes away. He goes to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and he studies at his feet. And the story goes that he says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he says, one day he's had a very foul smell coming in. He's teaching these 5 boys, and there's a foul smell in the room. He says, whoever's smelling, I can't take this anymore, please leave. You know, the halakha that says you cannot learn Torah or teach Torah in a place with a bad smell. You can't even pray. You've got to wait so the smell goes away or move somewhere else. And then learn Torah. You can't say a bracha, but there's a foul smell. So I can't teach Torah. So it says one of the other students got up and walked out to save this guy from disgrace. Imagine, someone else, totally different, Murad Tzadik, walked out. But why was he? He says his mouth was smelling because he never ate food for a few days. So when they told Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, this man has no food, he started providing for him. So the rabbi started providing for the student. So eventually he becomes one of the greatest rabbis we ever saw. This man was, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus was one of the greatest rabbis. And his protege was Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah, who's number 2, which we're going to talk about. Because Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus praises Rabbi Yoshua's mother, Ashrei Yolato. Praises the woman who had him as a babe. Imagine. What a beautiful praise for a woman. Well, praise is the woman who gave birth to Rabbi Yoshua. So the rabbi said, what did she do? What do you mean she gave birth to Yoshua? So she used to bring his crib to the shul to hear the Divrei Torah. So you can imagine a woman is pregnant, she comes to hear the rabbi, the baby's hearing it as well. And if she brings the baby as well, just make sure he doesn't cry. Some kids, you can't bring them because they're screaming and shouting. But this kid was a good kid. He came and he studied. He's from a young age, he was learning Torah. It's in his thoughts. Don't think children don't study. Don't think children don't absorb when they're young. And that's what we're saying over here. Children absorb even inside the stomach. 90% of a child, the rabbis say, is the mother. Why? Because she carries the baby for 9 months. All her feelings go into the child. All her feelings, all her thoughts go into the child. So what she does, what she eats also is very important. She eats not kosher food, whatever it is. There's certain things women shouldn't eat when they're pregnant. For example, even though it's kosher, the heart of an animal, it says, leads to timtum alev, has an influence on the baby, the spiritual qualities of the baby. So Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Yossi the priest, Rabbi Shimon ben Nataniel, Rabbi Lazar ben Arach, five great students, and he would praise each one. So number one, you can imagine, he's praising his students. My first student, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, we talked about, this Baal Teshuva, 27 years old, he starts studying Torah. He's called a Bor Sud. A Bor Sud is a pit which is sealed, nothing can come out of it. In those days, people would store things in pits in the ground. Where would you store your wine? They'll dig a pit, and then they'd paint the sides of the pit with lime, so nothing can come out. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I was in Israel, in Beit Shemesh, they uncovered some of these big pits, storage houses, basements. I actually saw the old basements where they would store food and store wine, and they paint the sides with lime so that it would become waterproof. So they pour the wine in there, and then when they needed wine, they'd take it out and back in buckets. It's amazing how they stored everything in the pits over there. So he called Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. He says, this guy, his mind is like a storage room which nothing escapes. Whatever he learns, stuck in his head. Photographic memory. He has instant recall, everything. That's Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. Number two, Rabbi Yoshua. Praised is the woman who had birth to him. He doesn't praise him, he praises his mother. Praised is his mother. So he said, why? Because she was the one who took him to study Torah at a very young age. He had tremendously good midot, and he praised his mother. Okay. She taught him good midot, either that, or she'd take him to learn Torah at a young age. Rabbi Yossi, he says, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, he was a priest, Hasid, he's pious. He may not be so knowledgeable, but he's a very, very high-level piety. What's piety? To go beyond the requirements of the law. Pious means to go beyond the requirements of the law. Whatever you told him, he would keep it 200%. Whatever you told him he'd do, he'd be the first one to do it. He was a pious person. Rabbi Yossi Chassid. He's pious. And he was the most pious person in the whole generation. Everyone knew him as the most pious person in the whole generation, whatever that means. He was known, whatever mitzvah it was, he kept the mitzvah 200%. He kept the mitzvah in the best way possible. He was a pious person. Rabbi Shimon ben Netanyahu. This is a good title. Yerechet. He had fear of sin. He would make himself many different fortifications so he shouldn't sin. He'd always try his best to keep away as much as possible from sinning. He'd make his own private gezerot, which is fences, to stop him from sinning. Rabbi Lazar ben Arach. Mayan hamitkaber. Rabbi Lazar ben Arach. He is like a stream that gushes forth more than what you put in. What does that mean? That means I teach him a little bit, he learns many things out of what I teach him. So he can increase learning by himself. That's amazing. So you teach one guy one thing and you say, listen, let me think of what the rabbi said and let me expand that and apply that to many different things. So he was able to expand the Torah, Rabbi Lazar ben Arach. Who, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, would measure his students. Where am I? If you put all the rabbis in Israel in a weighing scale, right? Eliezer ben Hyrcanus b'kaf hasheni, you put all the rabbis on one side, you put Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus on the other side, he'd outweigh them all. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus knows more than all the other rabbis. That's one opinion. So he'd outweigh them all. Abba Shaul says, no, that's not what he said. He said, if you put all the rabbis in one scale and you put Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach in the other scale, he'll outweigh them all. So there's a bit of discussion, which rabbi was greater, Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach or Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus? Rabbi Lazar ben Arach or Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus? Okay. It's a moot point. Who's the greater rabbi? We're going to see that sometimes being great is not a good quality if you don't have the humility that goes with it. A person always says, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. It's good. But when there's a Sanhedrin, you have to go by the majority opinion. And we're going to see eventually Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus gets put in Cherem. The rabbis excommunicate him. Why? He did not accept the majority opinion. He said, I know more than anyone over here. I am right.
This is it.
This is it. So they said, you know what? You're banned. You have to go outside the town. You're going to live by yourself. No one's going to come to you. No one's allowed to learn from you because you're rebelling against the Sanhedrin. You can't. You have a majority opinion over here. It's like someone on the high court says. I don't care what the high court says. I say this and I'm right. Okay. Well, you're below the law. You're not above the law. No one's above the law. So sometimes being smart and being clever, you're going to have the humility. But he knew he was right. And he was right, probably. He was right. But you still have to go by the majority opinion. That's the trouble. So he was the most knowledgeable, and he knew more than everyone else. But he's got to have the humility to say, you know what? I go follow the majority opinion. He didn't follow the majority opinion. Okay, so now, this is a very strange test he gave them. Please go and see, what is the best trait for a person to find? What best trait should a person follow? What is the best trait in life for a person to find? So Rabbi Eliezer says, Ayin Tova, a good eye. The best trait for a person is Ayin Tova. What is Ayin Tova? So Ayin Tova is the opposite of Ayin Ra.
To see the good in things.
Very good. Ayin Tova is the opposite of Ayin Ra. Ayin Ra means an evil eye. Everyone knows Ayin Ra. You know, Rabbi Ritzke talks about Konan O'Hara.
Konan O'Hara? I say
Konan O'Hara. This woman goes to court. And the judge says, how old are you? Kanai and Haram, 70 years old. How many children do you have? Kanai and Haram. And where do you live? Kanai and Haram, I live here. He tells her lawyer, he says, tell this woman to answer questions. She's in contempt of court. She's not answering the question directly. I tell her this, she says, Konan and Haram. I don't know. So the lawyer speaks to the woman, and then the woman comes back. He says, how old are you? I'm 70 years old, Kanai and Haram. She reverse flipped it. Anyway. But this Kanai and Hara became a big thing. Why? The evil eye. It's based on the Gemara. The Gemara says there were two great rabbis, Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel. And Rav and Shmuel have a whole discussion, why do people die? So Shmuel was a doctor. He says, especially in those days, they would catch a cold. A wind would come, and they catch a cold, and they die. Rav says, I went to the cemetery, and I found 99.9% of people die because of the Ayin Hara. So that's why Jews became so right.
The evil eye.
Because of the evil eye. So what does that mean? What does that mean, evil eye? So we have to talk about it a bit over here. So number one, there's an interesting halakha. There's a halakha that says, who has the mitzvah of breaking the hamotzi, the bread in the house? And the answer is, it says the Baal HaBayit. The owner of the house, the owner of the bread, he's the one who shares the bread. Owner of the bread shares the bread. Why? Because it says he will break the bread with ayin yafeh, with a good eye. So what is a good eye over there? The good eye over there is generosity. A good eye is a generous person's eye, who is looking at other people with a good eye and saying, listen, I give them the benefit of the doubt. He's a good person. This is a good person. This is a good person. Like Avraham Avinu, basically. Avraham Avinu viewed everyone as better than him. He had a good eye. Everyone has a good eye. And that's number one, is not to be jealous. The Ayin Hara is the eye of jealousy. This guy, he's got this, doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve it. I deserve it, not him. That's an evil eye. Evil eye is always looking at the bad at people, always saying that person does not deserve it. And that causes judgment in the world above. The person says, this one doesn't deserve it, this one doesn't deserve it. Hashem says, let's open the books and let's see if he deserves it. It causes judgment in the world above, and that's how the evil eye works. And the evil eye is linked to the evil mouth. Lashon Hara. Ayin Hara is linked to Lashon Hara, because if you would judge someone favorably, you won't speak bad about them. The person says, that guy doesn't deserve it. They start talking about the person. This guy's no good. This guy's no good. So one thing leads to another. The eyes and the mouths are attached. What do you mean attached? You see bad and you speak bad. A person who sees good will say good things. Very important. A person who sees good, to look at life with rose-colored glasses. Any roses over here? We have roses over here. Yeah. To look at life with the rose-colored glasses. Person can look at life with the rose-colored glasses. The cup is more half full than half empty. It's very hard. Why? Because you see someone, like a friend of yours, a neighbor of yours, and he's driving a very big fancy car. Person says, How come he's driving a car? I don't have a fancy car. How come he lives in a beautiful house? He just did up his kitchen. He did up his kitchen. And what about my kitchen? What about this? This is all jealousy, which powers the evil eye and powers evil speech. So a person's got to be careful not to get jealous. And that's the 10th commandment. The 10th commandment of the 10 commandments is Lo tachmod.
Right.
Don't covet. But Lo titave. Oh, that's even worse. Don't be jealous. Very hard. A person shouldn't be jealous. Why? A person should say, you know, this guy has this. Hashem should bless him with more. I can also get. If a person says, where do you buy that car from? That's okay. If a person says, how much you want to sell your car for? That's asur. Jewish law. If you go to someone's house, this is a big thing with antiques. If you just want to replicate it, no problem. But if you want that one that he has, that's coveting. I want yours. The problem is with the antiques or paintings, you can't replicate them. Well, you can replicate them. It's not worth the same. So the guy goes to someone's house and says, wow, look at the antique furniture you have. Can I buy it from you? No. Oh, please, I'll pay you this, I'll pay you that. That is coveting. That is the law of coveting. So find ways of getting away from him. That is considered coveting. A person's going to have a good eye. Enjoy it. Hashem should bless you with more. And that's to go, you know, there's a great story I saw yesterday. Since, you know, in Israel, there used to be a big rabbi called Rav Shach. Have you heard of Rav Shach?
Yeah.
Rav Menachem ben Shach. Okay, big rabbi. He was in his 90s already. So here this rabbi is going to visit him. He takes a taxi, you know, taxi drivers, Israeli taxi drivers. He takes a taxi to visit the rabbi. And the taxi driver, he's telling the taxi driver how great this rabbi is, a big rabbi. Taxi driver says, does he give brachot? Does he give blessings? He says, yes, I'm going to come with you then. Taxi driver, I need a bracha. I need a bracha very badly. Take me to the rabbi. So they go in, and there's a whole line of people there. But the taxi driver doesn't care. His taxi is waiting outside. He runs in front of the line. He says, rabbi, please give me a bracha. So I says, sure. What bracha do you need? He said, my dog is very sick. I need a mishaberach. This guy, the rabbi, is 90 years old. Sure, he says, listen, sar bali chaim. Cruelty to animals, of course. A mitzvah in the Torah, I mustn't call cruelty to animals. Sure. Takes out a siddur from the book, from the shelf. Opens up after the Shabbat, when the, you know, Tikriyat Torah, and has over there all mishaberachs. He opens up, mishaberach, avateinu avraham yitzchak yaakov, shmoshe varon david shlomo, hu yivarech v'yirapeh et. What's the dog's name? The guy says, Lassie. Lassie, Ben? What's the mother's name? Yes, I don't know. So the rabbi closes the book, puts it back on the shelf, and says, listen, sar bali chaim. But what's the moral of the story is that we have ancestors and we are parts of a chain of tradition. Dogs, they have ancestors, they're not really part of a chain of a tradition. So we have something that we have yichus. What's yichus? We are descendants of Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivkah, Rachel, and Leah. We have antecedents. We have people to live after. We have role models. A dog doesn't have a role model, which is his ancestors. They don't look at them. What's my ancestor? Let me live like my ancestor. We have the ancestors, and we have to live in that same line of the ancestors. So the Ein Tova is our ancestors. Our ancestors had good eyes. Abraham Avinu prays for the world. He tries to save the world. Come into my tent. You want? I'll give you. I'm not asking for anything. I want to give you. You don't have to give me. I have to give you. That's Ayin Tova. Ayin Tova is a person who is hospitable, who is giving, 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 not looking at other people and say, what can I get from that person? Some people, they size people up. Oh, this guy, wealthy guy. He's my best friend. The other guy, get out of here. I don't need you. So that is the evil eye. Keep away from the evil eye. Have a good eyes. It's very hard to have a good eye. So today, especially, we're competing. Everyone thinks they're in competition with everyone. They're not in competition. In God's world, there's plenty to go around. We have to realize that. God's world is unlimited. There's plenty to go around. You don't have to be in competition with anyone. There's enough for him. There's enough for you. There's enough for everyone in this world. All we need to do is do it properly. Do it with a good eye. With the eye of generosity. And that is a very beautiful trait. The trait of generosity, that's what I remember my aunts, Aleha and Mashalom, the most generous, big-hearted, my father, big-hearted person. He would give you the shirt off his back. If he liked you, he'd give you everything. He'd give you everything. So that's a good eye. A generous person. Rabbi Yeshua Meir, what's the best thing to look for? He says, more than a good eye is a good friend. If you have a good friend, now, A good friend doesn't mean a good friend. A good friend means a friend who is good. It's not a good friend because it could be a bad guy who's your friend. No. It's talking about a friend, the ethical term good. He's a friend who is good. A friend who is good has a good impact on you. Because they'll lead you in the right way. And they'll take you to the right places. And they'll help you do the right thing. That's a good friend. A friend who is good, not a good friend. It could be a good friend for bad things. No. A good friend, a person who is good. So that's Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says the main thing, and today you can tell children by who they hang out with. I can tell a kid, who's your best friend? Oh, him? Oh, okay, I know where you're up to now. I know where you are holding on, because if this is your friend, I know who you are. So you can tell someone by the people they hang around with. So it's very important to have friends who are good, or if you can make them good. You see, Abraham Avinu had three friends. Who are the three friends of Abraham? Quickly. Aner, Eshkol, Mamre. Rashi says he had three friends. These were the three friends who went with him to fight the four kings when he tried to get Lot away. Aner, Eshkol, Mamre, three good friends. But only one of them came through and advised him to do the Brit Milah. The other ones then said it's not a good idea. But one of them did. And that's why the parasha started off, Eira, Elav, Hashem, Belone, Mamre. Among the trees of Mamre. Why is Mamre mentioned? Because he was the good friend. He was the good friend. He was a good influence on Abraham. And Abraham was a good friend, influence on him. So he's a friend who is good. Rabbi Yossi says, more important than a good friend is a neighbor who is good. Because your friend you see and your friend you don't see, but your neighbors, they're stuck with you 24 hours a day, 24/7. So a good neighbor, it depends. If you have a detached house, it's not such a big priority. But if you live in an apartment building and you have bad neighbors, you're in trouble, boy. You're in trouble. So it's very important where you live, to check it out. Who's the neighbor? Who's this neighbor? A person should have shachen tov, a good neighbor. So what does it mean, good neighbor? It means a neighbor who is good. Not a good neighbor, I can borrow an egg from you, and I can borrow milk from you, and I can borrow this. That's also good, but is the person a good person? Because that's the person your children are sitting next to. That's the person your children are living with, next door to them. They have influences. It's the influences you got to watch out for. So influences of a friend, influences of a neighbor. Rabbi Shimon says, the most important quality we need to calculate is haru'eta nolad, to be farsighted. It's very hard to be farsighted. Most people think in the present. As Jews especially, we've got to be farsighted. Where is the safest place to live? Where should I buy my house? What are my plans? Be farsighted, think, what's the next step? Right? The person's got to see which way is the wind blowing, you know? The person's got to know which way is the wind blowing. Politically, which way is the wind blowing? Historically, which way is the wind blowing? We've got to know. The person's got to think ahead. What's going to happen tomorrow? Imagine, that's a wise man. A wise person is a person who can see further than what's right in front of him. Right now this is happening. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's it going to lead to? You know, the good investors. A person who's a good investor, he knows, not just thinking about today, he's thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow. What's this going to lead to? If the price of oil goes up, the price of oil goes down, he's trying to figure out what happens with Iran, with this one, and he's trying to figure out what will happen next. What's the next step in life? A person's going to think, what is the next step in life? Where will this lead to? If I live in this town, what will this lead to? Where will my children go to shul? Where will I go to shul? What are the influences on me? What influences are not on me? Where should I live? It's very, very critical. Which school do I send my kids to? It's very, very... This has massive implications for the future, for your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, if there are going to be any. And if they're going to be Jewish, not going to be Jewish, where am I going to do? So a person who can see ahead, that's a very high level. That's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Lazar Omer. The most important thing is a good heart. A good heart. What does it mean, a good heart? It means a holy, pure mind. A heart in this, Rambam says, whenever the Torah says a heart, it's talking about the mind. Because the mind is the heart. How do you serve God with all your heart? Doesn't mean with all your heart. Heart doesn't do anything. Your heart just pumps blood. The heart is inanimate. But the mind is the heart. The seat of the emotions. That's what it means. The heart is the seat of the emotions, which we know, and the Rambam already said, is the mind. So the heart is a mind. If your mind is a good mind, everything else will be good. Why? Because then you have clear vision. The person has a good mind and a healthy mind, hasn't got garbage. These guys, these white supremacists, all they think about is killing, hatred, killing, hate. That's it. That's their mind. That's the opposite of a good mind. A good mind is a healthy mind. Healthy mind thinks healthy thoughts all the time. Good thoughts. How can I help people? How can I help this one? How can I do that? How can I learn Torah? I want to learn more Torah. I want to think about God. Think about man. Think about my family. Those are healthy thoughts. That's a good heart. A person with a good heart Most important thing. What is a good heart? A person with good thoughts all the time. A person starts having bad thoughts, they got to know there's something wrong with them. They got to fix it. And how do you fix bad thoughts? By filling the mind with good thoughts. How do you fill your mind with good thoughts? What are good thoughts? Good thoughts are positive thoughts. Good thoughts are thoughts of helping other people. Good thoughts are thoughts of growing spiritually. Good thoughts are thoughts of Torah. Person learns Torah, fills your mind with purity. Fills the mind with sanctity. So that, those are good thoughts. So if a person's heart is good, they're going to motivate themselves to do good things. If a person's going to try and have a good heart, it will motivate them to do good deeds. And so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, look at this beauty. Look at these choices over here. You have five choices over here. Number one is, let's recap. Ayin tova, good eye. It's always looking good in people. Always look at good things. Always be generous. Living life with a generous eye. A good friend. A friend who is good, not a good friend. A friend who is good. A neighbor who is good. A person who can see the future. Boy, that's valuable. Rabbi Lazar says, a good heart. And he says, the most important thing is a good heart, because the good heart includes everything else. A person with a good, healthy mind will have a good friend, and will have a good neighbor, and will have a good thoughts, and will have do well in life. And what is the worst trait, he says? What is the worst trait to keep away from? So again, most rabbis give opposites. Rabbi Eliezer says, good eye. The worst thing is a bad eye. And, you want to keep away from some people. Some people have bad eyes. Bilam was a classic bad eye. When he saw someone, he would look for their flaws and curse them based on that flaw. He looked at the Jewish people and he couldn't find a single thing bad to say, to latch his evil on. So what he did is he blessed them. The rabbis say his blessing was a curse. Why? Because the blessing made them proud and big-headed, and the pride led to a fall. Mm-hmm. So he knew how to put evil into something good. Bilam, he had the worst. He was known for his ayin ra. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Rabbi Yeshua says, so the worst thing is a bad eye. Rabbi Yeshua says, a bad friend. The best thing is a good friend, a friend who is good. The worst thing is to have a friend who is bad, to get into a bad company of people, because then they're going to pull you down so fast. I know people who joined cults and I don't recognize them anymore. They're gone. You pull them down so fast that you can't get them out again. They're just stuck there. That's a bad friend. Rabbi Yossi says, an evil neighbor. Worse than a bad friend. He's there 24/7 and they're evil. They're just going to pull everyone down. Rabbi Shimon says, a person who can't see the future. A person who borrows money and doesn't pay back. You know what's going to happen to them? No one's going to lend them money anymore. If you borrow things and don't pay them back, that's a very short-sighted attitude. You know, there's a beautiful law we were learning last week in the Mishnah. It's the Mishnah Bava Metzia. Now, there's an interesting halakha in Jewish law that a worker who is working with plucking fruits is allowed to eat fruits as much as he can, as much as he wants, at the time when he's plucking the fruits. Imagine. So he's plucking oranges. He's on the kibbutz plucking oranges. While he's plucking the oranges, he can eat oranges. But he can't take home anything. He can't put them in his bag. He can't put them in his pocket. He's got to eat them on the job. He can't take them home. Oranges are not such a good example because you got to peel the oranges. It takes time. But let's say grapes. The guy says, I love grapes. So plucking a few in the bag, pop in the mouth, pluck in the bag, in the mouth, pop in the bag, mouth. So Talmud says, you know what? It's allowed. But don't overdo it because no one will hire you. You've got to look at the future. I'm allowed to eat the grapes while I'm plucking the grapes, but if you do eat more grapes than you produce, if you eat more than you produce, they're not going to hire you anymore. So a person's got to think ahead. Certain things are allowed. But if you do it with excess, it's not good for a person. So food is kosher, but in excess, it's going to give you other problems later on. So everything in excess, it's allowed, but a person's going to have brains to be able to see the future. A person cannot see the future, a short-sighted person. What's a classic example? A person who borrows and doesn't pay back. And then he says something very interesting. Now we think we're borrowing. Who do you borrow from? You borrow from a human being. No, he says. You can also be borrowing from God. How do you borrow from God? And the answer is, interesting, we're going to see another Mishnah that says, we don't really realize we are living on God's grace. And we see it today. A person lives, doesn't die. It's all chesed. It's all God's grace. It's Hashem's mercy and Hashem's kindness to us. All of us are living on God's grace and God's mercy. All of us. So now some people say, listen, God's grace, okay, so I'll do an extra. I'll rely on God's grace for a little bit more. I'll smoke some cigarettes. I'll rely on God's grace. Anyway, God is supporting me. What difference does it make if I rely on God's grace? He said, you're also borrowing from God. A person can also borrow from God. A person eats without a bracha. You just stole from God. So in a sense, you're borrowing from God. He said, a person shouldn't borrow and not pay back, whether you're borrowing from man or borrowing from God. Imagine. So what do you mean borrowing from God? Sometimes, literally, a person says, you know what, I can't afford to pay my tzedakah contribution now. I'll delay my tzedakah contribution. I'm borrowing from tzedakah, in a sense. If I'm borrowing from tzedakah, you're borrowing from God. Make sure you pay it back. Same thing, a person makes a pledge. Make sure you pay the pledge. In Jewish law, you have 3 Jewish holidays to pay the pledge. Which means, if you made the pledge before Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, after Sukkot, you better pay it before Sukkot. You only 3 holidays to pay the pledge. So the classic case of short-sightedness is borrowing and not paying back. Why? No one's going to lend it. Rabbi Eliezer says, a bad heart. The bad heart, if the motivation of every person is bad, there's no help for that person. Because everything will be bad. Everything around him, because he'll choose a bad friend, he'll choose a bad neighbor, he'll choose bad peer pressure, he'll choose the bad things, and everything will be bad. So everything depends on the mind. If the mind is good, the mind is holy, the mind is healthy, a person will live a healthy life. A person, the mind is gone, corrupted, like we see these lunatics lying. The only trouble is the lunatics with guns. Evil minds with guns. Unhealthy minds with guns. Okay, so let's just recap. What is the main trait to work on? And the answer is, the highest trait is a good mind. What's a good mind? A healthy mind, a generous mind, a holy mind, a spiritual mind. That's a good mind. The person who can think ahead. So that is the most important thing. The worst thing is to have a bad mind. Okay, we're moving on to another Mishnah Yud. Now we come to the students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said whatever he said. Now we have each student is going to say 3 things. It's interesting. So he has 5 students. Each student is going to say 3 things. You have 15 sayings now. This is how it should be. Torah should multiply. So the rabbi comes along, 5 students. Each student says 3 things, 15 things. Now you have increasing, expanding Torah knowledge. Rabbi Eliezer says, number 1, very, very important. Very, very important. Yehi kevod chavercha chaviv alecha kishrecha. The honor of your friend should be as dear to you as your own honor. What does that mean? It's very similar to what Hillel says. Don't do to others what you don't want others to do to you. You want other people to address you with honor. You want other people to give you honor. Treat your friend with honor. You're going to see. So interesting, let the honor of someone else be as dear to you as your own honor. You see someone else being laughed at, don't laugh at them. Give them honor as well, just like you want to be honored. You don't want people to laugh at you, don't laugh at them. You don't want people to put you down, don't put other people down. Make sure their honor is as dear to you as your own honor. Very, 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 very hard to do. It's very easy to say. It's very hard to do, especially if there's a group making fun of someone. Say, hey, 1 second, don't make fun of him. Because his honor is like my honor. I want him to be honorable just like I want to be honored. That's number 1. Number 2. And this is a very frequent phrase, which you can see many rabbis talk about this. Al tehi noach lichos. Don't be easy to get angry. A person should not be angry, or angry person. Every little thing, I'm angry. Every little thing, I'm angry. There's a beautiful Shlomo Melech, genius. Shlomo Melech, Mishlei. You know, when I read Mishlei, each line is a book. Each line of Mishlei, it's amazing. It's brilliance. The brilliance of Shlomo Melech, King Solomon, Mishlei, Proverbs. I have it on my desk. I'm just trying to get around to doing it, but it's so hard. You need commentaries. You can't just read the line because it's like opening up the book. Every line is a book, so you need the commentaries on the book just to understand it properly. He says, "Akas anger." He says, "Bechek silim yanuach, bechek in the breast pocket of fools." Kaas anger is in the breast pocket of the fool. You know why? Because it's the first thing he whips out. You know what's here right now? My cell phone. What's here? My wallet. Here's my pen. The first thing you whip out, you need it. I need it right now. What does he need the most? A fool needs his anger. He deals with all situations in life with anger. Why did this happen? Boom, 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 start screaming. Why did this happen? Why is he screaming and screaming? Hakas Bechek kisilim yanuach. Rest in the pocket of fools. So Kasi says, Al tinoach lichos. Don't be quick to get angry. Don't be quick. Now, this is one side of the four levels of anger, which we're going to see in chapter 4, I think it is, Ben Zoma. There's different levels of anger, but not only is it not good to be quick to anger, it's also important to be quick to be pacified. So we have different levels of anger, but number one is don't be quick to get angry. So number one is don't be quick to get angry. So we said, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, let's try and finish Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus. He says, number one is your friend's honor should be as dear to you as your own honor. Number two is don't be quick to get angry. Number three, repent one day before you die.
Since you don't know when you're going
to die. Repent one day before you die. But the rabbis came to him. This is on his deathbed, he said this. He's dying. All the rabbis are around him. He says, Rabbi, give us a bracha before you go. He says, I bless you to repent one day before you die. They said, hey, one second. How do you know we're going to die? So repent every day. And that's what we do before you go to sleep. We do Kriyat Shema Lamita. You say, if you do it before you go to sleep, you're repenting one day before you die. We don't know where we're going to go. It's a very big thing to repent and not to forget to say Shema. Very, very important not to forget to say Shema before a person dies. This way, a person dies with echad. So the person's going to know if there's a shooter, whatever. What do you do? Say Shema. It's so hard to remember to say Shema. Can you imagine? A person should always remember. We practice every day to say Shema. That's going to be the last thing a person says. Okay? So it's very, very important to remember that and put it in the front of one's mind or the back of mind. Bar Minan, these people just shot because it doesn't know when it's going to be. You know, everyone's born with an expiration date. Right? Here's the expiration date. We don't know when it's going to be, but everyone wishes, we pray, Hashem, we should die in our beds. After you say Shema, you do Teshuvah and go peacefully. But you never know, a person doesn't know what's going to happen. And that's why it's important to do Teshuvah one day before you go. How do I know when? Every day, let's do Teshuvah, Bezrat Hashem. So let's just recap those three sayings. Number one is be careful with your friend's honor. Number two is don't be quick to get angry. And number three is do Teshuvah one day before you go. Bezrat Hashem, we'll all be successful. Amen. Safety and security in Israel around the world.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.